recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf from the Masechet Nida is Daf Chof Aleph. We're holding at the bottom line of Chof Amud Beit, and it's brought to you, Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim. And we begin with the quote from the Mishnah. The last piece of the Mishnah spoke about the color of Dam, which is based on a comparison to wine. And it said that if you take the wine of the Sharon, water it down two parts water to one part wine, then you get a benchmark for comparing the Dam Nida to it. Tana. Hasharoni, this that we say about the Sharoni, that is mazuk to the one in this fashion, is the equivalent of the color of raw Karmali wine. Karmali, chai velo mazuk.
That's the standard. That's the
right. In other words, either it's going to end up being the same color. So you take complete Karmel, you don't water down at all, and chadash velo yasham, talking about the stretch urine, not the good French wine. Yes. Omer of Yitzhak bar Avodimi. And when you want to color, you want to look at the color. You don't look at the color from the top when it's not in a transparent container. You look at it bedafka in glass, and not regular Roman thick ugly glass. You use the kostveriani. Well, the kostveria pashut. And that kost, sorry, is a very, very thin glass. My timer, my bayat, look, normally, the glass that they use is basically a proportion in a glass that will hold a lug. They use one mana worth of raw glass to blow it. If the glass holds two lug, they use two mana of glass to blow it. The kostveria pashut is made out of very little glass, and even if it's machzik shnei lugin, it's still made from the same bubble that's only one mana. Because of that, I did a color. Since it's very thin glass, you get the color to be much more what the Mishnah is looking for, rather than being attenuated by the glass itself. So yediya beitve, hadron alach kol hayads richi
bli neder
fine. It's always close with Richie. It's always close. You know. That's one way of going through life. Always close.
It's good to, we're never quite there.
Well, it's a calculus approach to life.
Works,
Hamapel et chaticha. So now we want to talk about the question of dam that's associated with the elements of leda or of aborted pieces from the uterus. Now, there's very many different issues that we're really going to have to discuss in order to get to the bottom of this. One issue is whether we have to be cheshish that other shapes are essentially hardened dam. Another issue is that whatever the heck this is, the fact that it did come out of the uterus might itself imply that there's some tumah because yef shel p'tichat hakever below dam. The other is, even if it's efshel p'tichat hakever, meaning that the womb can be opened, this would be nageiv in a doctor's examination, open from the outside in. So he forces open the cervix in order to do an examination of the uterus, would have exactly the same problem. If efshel p'tichat hakever below dam, it would mean that that p'tichat per se would mean that there's dam nidot that were there, that it may be so tiny we're unable to find it, but that itself would be metami. Another issue that we'd have to take into consideration is whether the piece that comes out is itself maybe a leda because it has sufficient surah to be a viable fetus. Another question that we have to take into consideration is what if this is a container of blood, essentially, so that it's a cyst. Blood. It's a cyst. So there was uterine bleeding that bled into a thin cyst, and this is this piece that we're seeing is actually blood that's surrounded by a membrane. Then the question is whether blood that is seen in a membrane is considered to be a riyadam. That is a shaila that is based on the pasuk. It says, Ki yazuv zov dama bivsara. What does bivsara mean? Does it mean normally along the path that blood would usually take in order to get from the uterus out of the body? Or does it even include anything that would be a natural way of being rayed down? So this, of course, would be nogea other issues as well. Let's say inserting a tampon and finding blood inside of the tube of the tampon. So there was no blood on the outside, on the inside. So that dam was uterine blood, it was up against the cervix, but the blood never actually went bivsara, it went through an artificial tube. All of these issues are actually catalyzed here by the way that the Mishnah is put, in a way that confuses us enough that we manage to get up to all of the things that are involved. So we start off with a simple description. This woman is Mapela, just a piece. If it's just a piece, so then we understand that the implications of a chaticha, without any further description, so that it can't possibly be a fetus, it's just a piece. So then it says the Tanna Kamma, look, if there's dam with the piece, and only then is she tamea because of the dam. So, but otherwise, the chaticha itself is not going to be a tamer. And therefore, if not, imlav she's Torah, because it's certainly not considered to be a fetus, that it should be a leida, and the halacha would be that if it were later, then in Achinami it would be matami her, even without blood. But it's not a later. So what's left? Obviously the other question is p'tichat hakever. Right now the chachomim are saying it's tor. That has a lot of implications, as we'll see, because it's going to be dependent on how we understand the machlokas with this Tanna Kamma and the following sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, benkach u'benkach tmeya. I don't care what happens. It's definitely Tmeya. There's a lot of possibilities for why that would be true. But what he seems to be saying is that the Chaticha, somehow or other, and he couldn't possibly be saying it's a Leida, because we've never found anybody disagreeing that you need to have at least something that looks like a fetus, and that if it had remained into a full gestational period, it would have grown into a human fetus. So there's got to be another reason. Okay, many of the things we spoke about a moment ago give you pause for thought. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe since the chaticha came out of the rechem, then by definition, there must have been blood, even though we don't see it. Maybe the chaticha is made out of blood. Maybe the chaticha contains blood. And those are the things we need to think about. Hamapelet can mean klipa, can mean sa'ara, can mean afar, can mean yafchushin. So suppose it's not a piece. It's like a thin or hairy, that is to say long, or sandy, or like a buggy kind of adumim. The adumim goes on all of the above. It's some red thing. Now, those kind of things definitely, I mean, we see that all the time. You can have blood take on shapes like that simply because of where it is. Blood sits there a little bit and then hardens and comes out in a thin piece, or a long, elongated piece. So then you've got to check to see whether this thing is itself blood. Put it into water. If it softens and begins to melt, so then it's blood. If it's the color of blood, then it's tmeya. But if not, then it's something that is not a fetus, obviously, and therefore there's no reason to be matamir. Yeah, in Lav Torah. Hambapelet kemin dagim, chagavim, shkatzim, rimashim, im yesh imahem dam tmeya, vim Lav Torah. Let's say she's mapelet species that are not connected at all to Adam. We're going to see it's a question of the way the Torah describes the creation of these things. Yetzira is said by Adam, and not by these things.
There's no sexes on them?
No. It's just these are the minimum that the Torah doesn't describe in the same way as Adam. We're going to see there's also a din of looking like Adam. But over here, it's not included in the Yetzira, which the Torah was marked. But of course, the fetal development is all about Yetzira. That's the shaping of the blood. To be like a yotzer, is a manufacturer. So these things are bichlal not human. They look like fish, they look like insects, they look like rimasim. Im yeshim and dam, so if there's blood with these things, so then it's tummy because of the nidah's blood. But if there's no blood, there's also no leida, and therefore there's no reason for her to be tummy. So b'meila she would be Torah. If, however, she is mapelet, a type of mammal or bird, such as a behemah, or a chaya, or an oaf, then Bein Tmeim, Bein Tahorim. As we saw before, there's a Rebbe Meir Shita we're going to see in a moment. Because according to him, these things are also included in the concept of Yetzira like another. And therefore, we have to be chayash here that this is a Leida, and we don't know what the sex is. If we don't, or if we do know what the sex is, if it's a Zohar, Teshev a Zohar, if it's a Keva, Teshev a Keva, we don't know what the sex is. Mimeni Yadua, be Machmer, Teshev a Zohar, Velen a Keva. Being Machmer basically brings three issues to the surface. One is, how long is she going to be Tmeya? So you have to be Machmer that this is a female. She'll be Tmeya for 14 days, which is the Shir of Leida of a female. If you're being Machmer that she's a female, there's another problem. That is that you have to wait until the 81st day before she's going to be able to eat Truma for Kachin. Because she's not going to be able to be mid Taheret, for Kachin rather. She's not going to be able to be mid Taheret until the 81st day with her Karma. Only that's Matar for Achilas Kachin. Up until that time, she would be considered to be a Tvuyom Aroch. So even the until the 80th and the 81st day, the night of the 81st day, she's still going to be a Tvulas Yom, the Gabi Truma. She can't eat Kachin until she brings her Karma. That's another chumrah. Had it been a male, she could have done that on the 41st day. The other issue is in determining the level of the Yemei Tohar. Because you can't assume that she's a female, this fetus. Lakula, so if we're going to say that she has Dam Tohar after 14 days until the 80th day, then you're giving her 66 days, which she may not really, she may only have the difference between the first 14 days and a total of 40 days. Because maybe it was a Zohar. So however you look at it, you're going to be Machmer. After the 40th day, Dam is going to be Tummy again, because you can't be saying that it was in the Keva. However, she can't bring her carbon until after the 80th day. And you can't say that at the end of the 7th day, she now enters Dam Tohar. She's got, on every side, she's got a problem. So there you have to be Machmer for both sexes. Teshev lezachar, filan nekiva. This is all Rebbe Meir Shita. The Chachamim say, the fact that the Torah refers to these things in the same way it refers to the Yetzirat Adam is not a reason to infer that it would be Tamei later. Kol she'ein bo mitzurat Adam, ein ovlad. It has to look human. If it doesn't look human, we don't call that a human vlad, legabe the din, of the Tumas later at all.
But a regular baby born barely looks human.
You've noticed, haven't you?
It's like a little lizard thing.
Omer of Yehuda Meshua, Lo Timei Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Bechaticha Shel Arbat Minei Dami. I want to make something clear. Shmuel is quoted. You should know that the basis of the Tumah, Lidei Rabbi Yehuda, is that he holds that the Chaticha itself is hardened blood. And since it's hardened blood, so if it looks like the color of the four, meaning including, of course, the fifth shachar of the Minei Damim, so then, since it's hardened blood, it's going to be Matame. But even if it's hardened blood, if it's blood of the wrong color that the Torah wasn't including in Dameha Dameha, so then she'd be Torah. There's no magic over here about Empty the Kevra below Dam, about the Shashad inside of it. It's a piece of dry blood. That's all very simple. Mamela, all you need to do is look at the color. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. It's a complete misunderstanding. The Mishnah, if it were actually the color of blood, everybody would agree that it's tummy. That's for sure. Even the Chachamim would hold that it's tummy. As a matter of fact, if it's the Shar Minei Damim, everybody would hold that it's tohar. The only machloket over here is whether you need to be chayish for whether it's that color. So what happens is, over here, she was meipila, something or other. She aborted something, and she flushed the toilet. Now she has no idea, meipila. So Rabbi Yehuda Sava, look, you know, zil bata rov chatichot. I mean, most of the situations like this are bamine dami. And because of that, you have to assume the worst. And you can be assume the worst based on that rov. Rabbanan Sabi, lormine rov chatichot, shel arbat mine dami. That even though she hasn't brought it to us, and even though it may often be that color, but we do not assume, without seeing it, that it's going to be Dafka. Those four very specific colors that would be Matami, or that we're not going to see.
Of course, it's just such a narrow sample field. That
it's a very narrow sample.
So you can't put any right exactly. Position on there.
as the Gemara, but this isn't true. Neither of these approaches are true. Amy? We know in Rav Hoshaya, who comes from Narda, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he was out of Aitim Atin to be Yadin. And the Braita that he brought back with him from his learning said like this, HaMapelet Chaticha, and here it starts listing the colors. And here's where we're going to get into the trouble. HaMapelet Chaticha, Aduma, Shikora, Yiroka, Levana. I mean, here, no matter what you say, you're in trouble. Because he's including both the Aduma and Shikora, which of course is Tameda, and he's including Yiroka, Levana, which is Torda. So now, whatever you say, we got problems. So, in the Eshim Adam, if there's other blood, then it's Tameya. But in Lav Torah. So, this is the sheet that the Chachomim are saying, even if it is real Dam colored, it's Tar. So, wow. That's a very serious problem with the way we just described it, according to everybody. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, and Rabbi Yehuda says, it is Tameh, it means it's Tameh even if it's not the color of Dam. This is over here, Yiro Kavel of Amah. So, this is no good according to anyone. Kasha L'Shmuel B'Chadah, one of these things contradicts Shmuel, but both of them contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Look, L'Shmuel B'Chadah, didn't Shmuel say that Lo Timei Rabbi Yehuda L'B'Chadah Kashalat Bat Minei Dami, right? The only reason that Rabbi Yehuda is Matame Ali B'Shmuel is because he holds that this is made out of blood. So of course, if it's the wrong color, it wouldn't be Matame. And here it says Beferish, that even if it's Yorok, so it's yellow or it's white, nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda is Poly. And I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, you're going to try to tell me, well, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda didn't mention Beferish, the colors. He says, no, it's Tamei. Maybe he means, no. You can't make that blanket statement, because if it was Shachar and Adam, then it would be Tamei. So he's only arguing on that point. Maybe that's what you're trying to say. But that doesn't work. Because V'chi Tamei Ki Polik Rav Yehuda Aduma V'Shachara. But, of course, Rav Yehuda didn't mean Seyam. I look at all four examples. So Ayero Kavel of Analo. So then I ask you a very simple question. Who the heck mentioned Yorok and Lavan in the Mishnah, okay? Just explain it, because for sure, to mention it in the Rabbanan sheet is absurd. I mean, if the Rabbanan are telling you, Hashta, Adumavish Choramitare Rabbanan, the Rabbanan are telling you, I don't care if it's Mamish the color of Dam, you got to tell me that if it's some other color? Obviously, even if it's a color of Dam, talk about the important issues. Tell me, it looks exactly like Dam, it's bright red, whatever you want.
But there's no blood attached to it.
No blood attached to it.
Sorry.
I don't care. So I need to know that if it's not the color of blood. So it can't be for the Rabbanan. The only reason to even mention these two colors is because Reb Yehuda would be arguing, and we want to say, you should know Reb Yehuda argues even if it's Yiro Kavel Levana. No. So then it's only Aliba the Reb Yehuda, which means that's the whole point of the argument of Reb Yehuda here, which definitely shows you that Shmuel Steiner, that all Reb Yehuda was trying to say is that we assume that the Chaticha is made out of Dam, can't be true. Because if it's made out of Dam of the wrong color, it's not going to be more chomer than Dam of Nidais itself. So this doesn't make any sense. According to Rabbi Yochanan, first of all, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that itself is a problem. Because, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan says everybody is made then. That the real color Dam is for sure. Rabbanan also are made then. But Rabbi Yochanan is even worse off. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that Arbat Minei Damin Dibreah called to Me'ah. And here the Rabbanan are being chelek, even Aduma Veshkora, which is primary colors for Dam. Now, it maybe you'll try to tell me, that this doesn't have this excuse. Because in Rabbi Yehuda, you could start saying, maybe Rabbi Yehuda was only referring back to two out of four of the things that the Rabbanan say. But how can the Gemara say maybe the Rabbanan were only referring to two or four of what the Rabbanan say? I mean, they say it. So this next piece doesn't appear. Yeah, according to one of the Shitas of Tesis. But anyway, we'll read it through. V'chitem, and maybe you'll try to say the same thing you told me in Rabbi Yehuda, that Kipolig Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan only meant to argue about Yorok and Lavan. But actually, the Rabbanan do agree that if it's red or if it's black, that they agree. So this part isn't really such a problem. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. So there we would also admit that that's dumb. No, sorry. So then... If that's the case, then Aduma Vishkora, Laman Katanila, then why are we mentioning it? According to Rav Yehuda, we're mentioning it. That way. I understand. I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda. Hashta Yerokav Levana Tameya. So Aduma Vishkora Miboi. We don't need to talk about the real color of Dam, he's ready to be Matam exactly the real color of Dam. The only possibility is that we need to know that I want to argue even on the real color of Dam. So it doesn't make sense of Rabbi Yochanan at all. Not the first part, not the second part, not Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda, not Aliba the Rabbanan. So we've got a real problem. Elam Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, forget about this. This approach simply doesn't work in light of the Braita of Rav Hoshaya. We're going to have to say that actually it's the exact opposite. There is no question about the Chaticha itself being Dam. The question over here is whether Efshar L'Ptichat HaKever below Dam Kamiflaget. If something came from the uterus, the issue is that per se a Raya that there was bleeding? Because the uterus would not have been able to open sufficiently to allow something to come out like this unless there was some shift in it that caused an actual bleeding from the uterus. That's the makos. It's the uterus. The question of which part of the cervix is already considered to be a p'tichat hakev. It's the cervix that holds the uterus closed. So if the cervix is pressed to the side, but the kever, the reference to the kever is the actual uterus. The p'tichat hakev is through the cervix. But once that's pushed to the side, then you've got a problem. This is all kinds of questions about the length of instruments for bedikas and so on the outside of the cervix. Where there's certain shiurim where we're not makpid on the p'tichat hakev. But it's already, we'll see later on much more. So, the only explanation for why the color is irrelevant, both Aliba the Rabbanan and Aliba the Rabbanan, is that we're not talking about the piece as dam. We're talking about the opening that allowed the piece out. And therefore the color of the piece is completely irrelevant. And that's the only way to have this make sense. So Elam Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Efshar L'Ptichat HaKever below Dam. And look, I mean, I'm not making up this issue. We know that there is a machloket about that. There's no reason for us not to assume. We're not creating a machloket out of whole cloth over here. That would be rather creative. We know that there's such a machloket. Because it's b'plukted ani tanoi. If you take a look at a braita, we see that there's a machloket about this issue. So, we're going to apply it over here. Memela, according to Rabbanan, since it's possible for the chaticha to have come out without considering it to be a dam that comes from the p'tichat hakever, which is the equivalent to dam leida. So then, fine. What's the problem? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's impossible for it to come out, and therefore, who cares what it is? It's not dam, but there was dam here. That's dam leida, essentially.
Therefore, he's ignoring the colors.
Ignoring the colors? Everybody's ignoring the colors.
We don't see any other dam.
No,
doesn't matter. We're assuming it was p'tichat hakever. It needed to have been done, it's just that we didn't see it. So therefore, since we find in the Braita of the Tanya, now here is a case where we've spoken about this issue earlier. If a woman was roya dam during her pregnancy, so now she starts her 7-11. So she's tamei for 7 days. The next 11 days are roi for zivais. Since they're roi for zivais, if she starts having her bleeding that appears to be prepartum bleeding, it's associated with contractions and with pain. So normally we know that the Torah was matir kishui somach lelet, as we said before. The pains that are involved with contractions are an indication that any bleeding during that is not caused by zivais, it's caused by the birth process. And gradually the uterus is now bringing itself to a position to expel the vlad. And those changes are the bleeding of Leda, and not Ziva. However, what happens if, we spoke about this earlier, there are 2 days of bleeding, but they're accompanied by these tsirim, accompanied by contractions. Now, on the third day, she gives birth. But she gives birth without, she expels something. So, kishta shnayim u'shlishi pila v'eni yodat ma'i pila. Now, she has no idea whether there was dam on that third day. She saw dam on the 2 days, but that was accompanied by contractions. She has no idea what it was that she expelled from her uterus. She flushed the toilet. So now what happens? What we have over here is a suffix leda and a suffix ziva and a suffix of neither. Because if it's a suffix of nida, the halacha would be, okay, you could bring a chatas ha'of, remember, because a chatas ha'of isn't put on the mizbeach. So all you have is a dam. Now the question is, can that chatas ha'of be eaten? No, it can't be eaten, because you do malika to a chatas ha'of. If she's not chayepet in the chatas ha'of, this is an avail. Nobody's allowed to eat this chatas ha'of. Why might it be neither? Now that's the shaila. Well, suffix later we understand. If we had seen this fetus, or whatever she expelled, maybe it was a real fetus. If it was, so then it's right. Maybe, however, it was Ruach Yipila or Chatichai Yipila, that wasn't the real Eda. So then she had 3 days of bleeding. The Torah was never Mater Kishta, where it's the contractions don't terminate in Olena. So over there, it means she had 3 days of bleeding during the 11 days post period, which was an unusual circumstance, but that's what happened. So she bled for 3 days, which means that she's a Zofa. So that's also possible. On the other hand, she doesn't know whether she bled on that third day. So if she only bled for 2 days, then even if it was Dam Ziva, she would be a Shomer Yom Kenegan Yom. And she would not be Chayevet in a carbon. So you can't be absolutely sure that you are going to have to bring this carbon. Therefore, you've got the Chumra all around. You're going to have to bring the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash in order to ever become Torah for Achil Skatshim. And nobody's going to be able to eat it. Rabbi Yoshua says, well, why would nobody be able to eat it? There's no way out of this. She is either a Zava Gedela, who's Chayevet in a carbon, or she's a Yoledes, who's Chayevet in a carbon. Because the only tzad that she's not is that there was no bleeding. But that's impossible. Because Eif Shalak Tichata Kever below that. So the only determination is, which you can't determine, but what we would have possibly known is whether it was a later, whether it was a Ziva. But there's no other alternative. So why not bring the carbon and the Kohen can eat it? It's Vadei carbon. Okay, so according to this Machloket, we now have a very, very straightforward insight into the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda HaChamim and our Mishnah. It's exactly the question that comes up right over here. It's Rabbi Yeshua who says, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. It's Tommy, I don't care what color it is, because that's not the issue. Now, there's another approach to this entire thing from the beginning. We took off with this Machlokas of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and then we came along with the Tanya of the Braita, Rav Hoshaya from Narda, and then we had a problem with both Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and we offered the alternative based on the Braita of Ein Tichat HaKever B'Lodan. There's a slightly different version of what happened. And in this version, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who came up with the alternative. Not that Rabbi Yochanan argued with Shmuel about the nature of the Bachlokas Rabbi Yehuda HaChamim in other colors. He never entertained the issue of the other colors, in which case the kasha that we would ask was obviously only a kasha on Shmuel. And Rabbi Yochanan runs to the rescue, so to speak, by giving us an alternative explanation. So here's how this one runs. So this is basically the same thing. It's very straightforward. Others say over what we just learned as follows. The whole issue over here, Tainan Shmuel, is only because we believe that this chaticha itself is blood. Therefore, if it's not the color of blood, who cares whether it's dam, it's not matanim. And that's it. No Rabbi Yochanan. No. We immediately ask, what? Is that possible? He came from Eretz Yisroel, which says, quote, Hamapelot chaticha adam. So, im yeshim adam, and only im yeshim adam, say the chacham if she's tmeya. And if not, she's Torah, as Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care whether there's other dam, she's varai tmeya. Now, it says over here, red, black, yellow, or white. And Rabbi Yehuda argues. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care. She's Vadai Tamea. Now, how do you explain that? You say that the only reason that she's Tamea is because it's the color of red and black. Well, how do you explain the yellow and the white? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda didn't mean across the board, and all he was saying, now wait a minute, let's not jump to conclusions. It depends on the color. If it's Shor of Aduma, then of course it's Tameh. I agree with you about the Yeroka Levana. But then, again, it's ridiculous. Why did we even mention Yeroka Levana? Because Yeroka Levana Man Katani, explain to me who said it. I mean, for the Rabbanan, it's a Kiddush. If even if it was red and black, the Rabbanan would say it's Torah. Obviously, if it's not even the color of Dam, it's Torah, because the Rabbanan are saying this is not Dam. So why would it be Dam unless it's bleeding with it? Elalav, the only possible point of mentioning in the Brit of Rav Hoshaya, of mentioning the words yellow and white, could only be to tell me that Rav Yehuda is chaylik, even if it's not the color of Dam. Therefore, something is very wrong with Shmuel. Comes along, it should say Rabbi Yochanan. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, in this version, the Machlokas actually is Efshel Ptichat HaKever B'lo Dam Kamifik HaGei. And as we said before, we know that there's such a Machloket. The Plukta Dani Tanoi, the Tanya Kishta Shnayim, during the Yud Alev Yom, which occurred because she had a nidus in the middle of her pregnancy, and then she gets to be within these 11 days. Normally, being Rei Adam does not make you a Zava. There's a very small window to be a Zava. Normally, that window doesn't exist during pregnancy because there was no bleeding. But in this particular case, she bled during her pregnancy and started the window going after the 7 days after her Re'iyah. So if she had a situation where she was bleeding during that time, but the bleeding was associated with pains that indicated that she was having contractions to have this abortion, then the din would be that if on Shlishi she aborts something, then that me pila, my pila, and furthermore she doesn't know if she bled. So then it's a Sofik Leda, Sofik Ziva, and she has to bring a korban, but you can't eat the korban because maybe she wasn't chayevet the korban at all. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, of course she's chayevet the korban. It's only a question of why she's chayevet the korban. But either she had a Leda, depending on what that fetus was, or she just had bleeding, in which case it's Ziva. You say, but how does she know she bled? Well, she sure knows that something came out. And if something came out, if something came out, there needed to have been blood there. I don't care if you didn't see it. Maybe it was too microscopic for you to pick up and it got washed away in all the other fluid. But the point is, there's definitely tumor here.
There's no way that there's no physiological way that anything could have come out without the kever.
There is, if it's very small. Yeah. But again, these are things we'll see later on. Yes, it would have to be after 40 days for there to be any chashash of a fetus, because less than that, from less than 40 days from conception is considered to be water. Tanu Rabbana, Hamapelat Chaticha, Sumchus Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, V'chein Haya Rabbi Shimon B'Menasi Omer Kedvorav, a whole new approach. In this approach, if there's a Chaticha, you cut it open. So if you find that it's bloody, so then it's tummy. And if not, then there's no chashash. It's tar. So in other words, there's no problem of it itself being dam. There's no problem if it's containing dam. And there's no problem if it's being a leida. And there's no problem of empty chatekavrabo dam. The only problem would be if it itself is bloody. Well, if itself is bloody, so then you do have to worry about its being something or other. We're going to have to see. So this is Rabbanan v'Adifa Rabbanan. It's like Rabbanan l'kula, because Rabbanan say Efshe l'Ptichat HaKever B'lo Dam. That's what he's saying. But according to Rabbanan, you don't have to worry about cutting it open or seeing whether it's bloody. He's more machmir like the Rabbanan, because Inu Savri Ima In B'Tocha Lo. They are saying that if there's blood that accompanies this on the outside, then you've got a problem. But if you find dam inside of it, you don't have to worry about it. And he's coming along to say, well, even if you find dam inside of it, you do have to worry about it. Okay. Sumchas, Savar, Afilu B'tocha. Now, there's another version in a Braita, which is like this. Tanya Idach, which goes a little bit beyond Sumchas. Hamapelet chaticha, here it's Ravacha. So Ravacha also starts off like so, because he says, you cut it open, and if, even if it's not bloody, if it's reddish inside, im tocha ma'adim, so then it's tmeyav v'im lav tora. Now he is taking Sumchus one step further. So he's like Sumchus in that A, it's actually b'tichat hakever b'lo dam, and in that B, you need to find out whether there's dam in it. But he's being even more mild. What he's saying is, look, if the thing even looks like it's flesh with blood in it, even though you don't have actual drops of blood, you also have to be machmir. That's even more chomer. That's yet another bride. Amapelet chaticha, Rabbi Binyamin Omer Korah, you tear it open. If you find any bony structure, forget about whether there's dung. Im yesh ba'etzem, then it appears to have been left over from an actual formed fetus, because otherwise how would you have bone there? And then imo would be even to me'aleda. Amr Chisda, yeah, but this is only if it looks like it's a piece of flesh with a bone. I mean, not that it's these weird colors that we were talking about. This is talking about a chaticha levana. So it looks like it's flesh. You're saying, and there was a bone in it. Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as a fleshy, bone-containing thing that wasn't part of an organism. Nothing happens on it. There must have been an organism. This is all that you're saying that's left. So then you'd have to be charged for leida itself, too. The chenki ata zuzat, is the name of the, not zuga, the tshnei tamidei chachomim that were known as the chavrusas from Chadayah, but rather Zuzah, the name of the Chacham from Chadayah, came bringing a braita, which said, "Amapelat chaticha livana," like Rav Chisda said. So this is looks like it's flesh. Then what you have to do is you have to open it up. So what happens over there? Korah im yesh ba'etzim. If you find any bone in it, then you have to assume that it came from a fully formed organism that has been crushed, lost, and therefore imot me'aleid. Now yet another shita. Om Rabbi Yochanan v'Yishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, amapelet chaticha korah, and here it's imyesh badam agur. If you find there's pooled blood in this, then tmeah v'imlav Torah. Now this is like sumchus, but it's more kal than sumchus, because what sumchus was saying is, if it's bloody, you don't need pooled blood. If this, whatever this thing is made out of, bleeds, that's enough. According to Shimon bar Yochai, it's not that the flesh is considered itself to be blood, but if there's real blood there that you could identify, pooled blood, then that blood is going to be matamir. And of course,
not for what? Neither?
Yeah. But of course, this raises the issue of whether blood in a tampon tube is going to be tummy or not, because this is not this is not the normal way to be Rayadam. This is like being Rayadam in a plastic bag. I mean, is that considered to be a Rhea that's Batami or not? So her body formed a plastic bag, formed a cyst around this dam. That's not typical Rhea. Okay. And that's, of course, because of this, we're going to raise exactly that question. And that's going to shed light on these previous brightot. Boimine, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Zeir, which is exactly what you would expect right now. What would be if you were Roedam b'shvoferet? So what if you put a tube up the vagina, up to the cervix, which is very common if she's using a tampon. So you use a tube and you find blood in the tube, which means that no bleeding takes place along the actual basar of this woman, but rather basically cardboard in a plastic bag, whatever the case may be. What's the deal? Do we say that since the Torah seems to say an extra word that really doesn't make sense? It talks about zova bivisara. I mean, for heaven's sakes, where else would zova be? So what are you telling me? Dam ye zova bivisara. So maybe that's the whole point, that the Torah is stressing Bifsara, v'lo bishvoferet. This has to be a dam that flows through her vagina and doesn't come through some artificial insert. Or maybe that's not the point. Maybe the chiddush of bivisara is that you might have thought, at what point does a woman become tmeil of nidus? Is dafka where she bleeds externally? In other words, the uterine bleeding has already left her body and is detected outside of her body. But if there's bleeding that is from the uterus, but it's still in the vagina, and it hasn't gone out of the body, maybe that's not metame. So therefore, I need to know, don't think you need to actually get it out. Bitsara, even if it's inside of her, it's already metame. So maybe that's what it's coming to tell me, that metama mi bifnim kebachutz. So what do you say? Asks Rabbi Yirmiyahu from Zer. What do you say? Which approach of bitsara is correct? Omar le, for sure, bitsara includes the exclusion of a tube. Because if Bibsara only meant to tell me the most obvious thing, which is that she's Batama even while the Dam is still, so to speak, internal, in other words, still in the flesh that I do not see from the outside, so then if it's just that it's Batama, Bibifnim Kebachutz, then the Torah wouldn't have had to write the word Bibisara. It could have just said Bisara. But you wouldn't need bivsara, or bibasar, my bivsara, to tell me not only is it in the flesh, but it's even along the flesh. That's the point. Her typical flesh is what it's stressing. So there's two different issues. Both are true, not one or the other. Both are true. Shmamina tarte, dam is batame, a woman even in the buster. And dam is batame only if it's along the buster. In order to get out,
if the blood would have come along the sides if it wasn't for the tube.
Yeah, there, exactly.
But because the tube was there,
so it never touched the sarah. Yeah, I mean, we have a similar issue when it comes to defining a bechor. How about if the doctor uses a forceps? It's not petarecha. Because it never touched the sides of the vagina on its way out. Takes away the din of bechor.
Things very literally.
Very literally. It's mamash din and rechem. Yeah, it's about the truth. Now, the question is, and we see here from what the Gemara is focusing on, that the Gemara has two different approaches to the previous sugya. The Gemara only asks from Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Reb Shimon bar Yochai said if there's pooled blood in the chatikah, so then you have a problem. But wait a minute. Pooled blood in a chaticha is essentially being roya dam in a plastic bag. And why is roya dam in a plastic bag different than being roya dam in a tampon tube? It should be the same thing. And yet, Rav Shimon bar Yochai is taken for granted that, oh, if you find pooled blood inside of the chaticha, it's definitely going to be in batame. Why? Which one?
I don't know, something I said. Oh,
you better change your toothpaste.
Yeah, maybe I'd say that.
So, according to this, it says, "Im yesh dam agor tmeah v'im lav Torah." So you see that even though it goes through a shvoferet, so to speak, it's tmeah. Oh, come on, says Rabbi Zer. What's the comparison? Achi hashta, please. I mean, hatam darkasha v'shalir od dam bechaticha. Hacha ein darkasha v'shalir od dam b'shvoferet. I mean, it's something artificial where you poke a tube into her, you're going to tell me that that's the same as having a cyst that has dominant. Come off it. I mean, one of them is included in the natural process. It could be called bifsara. This happens. But it certainly doesn't happen that a woman finds a tube up her. Fine. So that, you don't bring the raya from there. Now, you'll notice that the Gemara only brings the raya from Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Why does it say after Reb Shimon bar Yochai? And what about the other approaches? Simchas, there's blood, it bleeds. It would be tummy. Why isn't that a raya? So clearly the Gemara held that if it were not that the blood was pooled, we wouldn't view it as the issue of being raya dam b'chaticha. So there must be another reason. Maybe it's that it's the equivalent of the etzem if it bleeds, and therefore it's part of an organism. Maybe the entire thing is viewed as blood, and therefore it was nagia b'chutz. We're going to see this in a moment, whether that would be true. Says the Gemara, okay, I understand you can get away with Reb Shimon bar Yochai, but l'maisa would appear that the issue of riyas dam b'shvoferet is actually a machloket tanaim. Because it says in a brayta like this, ha'mapelet chaticha, afa pish b'laya dam, im yesh imadam tmeah b'nim laf tahara. Look at that. See, here it says that if there is, this seems to be exactly the case with Shemar Yochai, so she has a cyst, it's full of blood. Nonetheless, the Tanakhama is saying, only if there's blood that accompanies it, Mibachutz, is she Tmeyah, and if not, she's Torah. Rabbi Eliezer appears to be arguing, says, well, no, the Torah says, Bitsarah, Velo Bishvir, Velo Bechaticha, the Torah was insisting that it has to be a normal way of seeing dam, which would not include some type of enclosure of, like a shvir, like an amniotic sac, like a chaticha, which you're telling me what? Rabbi Eliezer Hainatanakama, that's exactly what I just said. What are you yelling at me for? No, this is a mistake. It should say, because, since Rabbi Eliezer explained that Bifsara is b'mayet a chaticha, or a shmir, therefore the Tanakhama is saying, and that Rabbi Eliezer is the basis of the Tanakhama, since Rabbi Eliezer said, share Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that Bifsara velo b'shmir velo b'chaticha, because of that, you need to have dam with it. V'chachamim omrim, oh, this is really weird. So I can only make this very opaque statement. Well, this is not dam of the nida, this is the dam of the chatif. So what's the point? The Tanakhama is betayer. So when you're saying, well, I don't understand, this is not dam nida. Did I ever say it was dam nida? I wasn't talking about it. I said it's tar. Now you can get into issue. Well, you hold it's tar, but don't start yelling at me that this is not dam nida. The Tanakhama nami turi betayer. I don't understand what you're saying. Well, the Tanakhama was betayer. Oh, so it must be the pshat is like this. Suppose you have the polypeluya ikabinaya, the difference between the shita of the Tanakhama and this last shita that we're saying, that we're calling the chachomim. So these chachomim would be arguing in a case where you have cracks in this chaticha. And in those cracks, there's blood. So which is very common. Notice you don't have a smooth chaticha, but you have like all kinds of indentations that go through it, and it's like a messy piece that has bloody parts that access this blood. So now the shaila is like this: the Tanakhama says, "Look, it says bifsara velo bishvir velo bechaticha, and therefore it's basically the same thing." V'hu adin. Lishvul ferret, of course, because even more natural things like cysts are not going to be metame. But that's only halimilei ekadashia. Avom polypluye tameya. If it's completely surrounded by something, that's not normal. But to say that you can have blood, which is a bloody chaticha, in which I see the blood from the outside, so over there, that's considered to be normal. That's more natural. And that is considered to be bivisara. And therefore, if it's not Shia, if it isn't smooth on the outside, then it's going to be considered to be touching in this fashion. Because it's flowing on the outside. My time, bivisara karina, but come along this new sheet of the Rabbanan and say, who cares? Who cares? Touching, not touching. This is not dam nidas. So avagav the pali pluye, ein ze dam nida ledam tchaticha. This is not dam nidas at all. What you're looking at is the dam of some malformed organism, and therefore, what would it have to do with the dam of nidas at all? Okay, but if it would be the dam nida, then in fact, it would be metame. And the mashmahut is, well, no, listen here, gentlemen, the only issue is there is no dam nidas. If it would be dam nidas, then I don't know what all of these weird things you're telling me are, it would have been metame. In other words, it would be metame, I feel a bishvul feret. Okay, so in other words, we have a machlokas over here about whether bivsara is b'mayet a shvul feret. That seems to be the issue. Well, I feel a bishvul feret nami. I'm Rabbi, you jump to conclusions. I mean, it's very easy to read it like this. Bishvul feret literally kuli amalot pligit to Torah. That's not considered to be a natural re'ia, and bivsara is certainly mamayet, something that's not natural. But the question over here is the same point that we raised earlier, Lagabi Shumar Yochai. It's talking about over here that it's a cyst. And it has these little polypluyas on them. So it's perfectly natural. That's the question. That's over there, kipligi bechaticha. So mar sovra darka shalisha lirot dam bechaticha. And Marsova and Arkashavi Shavir Odam Bakatiha. When they were talking about, is this Dam Nidus? Is this not Nam Nidus? This is not what it meant. What you thought. Well, even if it would be Nageya Mamish, it isn't anyway Mitami, because that's not what he meant. He meant this is not Dam Nidus, meaning Anida is not Roya in this fashion. And therefore, it's not Matame, because it's not Bivsara. That's what they're talking about. He's not raising a new issue. Is this considered to be Bivsara? Is this normal? Or is this something entirely different than normal? And what's wrong if it is? The Torah says Bivsara. That's what's wrong that it is. So you read it wrong. You read that the Chachomim introduced a new issue. We're actually arguing about the whole idea. If it would have been Dam Nidus, it definitely would have been Matame. I don't care how. Even in Shmofer, it would have been, well, I mean, why jump to conclusions? Why not say that there's no new issue in this ends of Dam Nidot? They mean this is not Dam, that it's flowing the way Dam Nidot is meant to flow. And therefore, it wouldn't really matter whether it's this polypluia, not polypluia. The point is, this is weird. This is not the way Nidai's Dam usually comes in. And I don't care, even if you say, well, in the cracks, there's a Nagia in the Dam. It's not a technicality in the cracks. The idea of the Bivisara is the entire concept of normal. Bivisara doesn't mean literally touching Bisara. Bivisara means naturally, the way her flesh naturally functions. The way of the flesh, exactly. This is not the way of the flesh. So it's a different reading in the idea of Bivisara. Uchemazug shnei chalakim of mayim to one chalak of yain, that is the sharoni. But the sharoni mazug is the equivalent of the Carmel wine chai velo mazug. Chadash velo yashan. Omre bitzik baro vedimi v'chulanein bokinotan ele bekos tveria pashut. You know why? Omre abaya shel kol olam kulo. A makzik lug is made out of enough glass to weigh a mona. Shnei lugin to weigh matai. But a coast ferry, a pashut, even if it's big enough to contain shnei lugin, only has enough glass weight in it to have one mana. And also, you don't tell me mana, because of that, it's very thin glass. So I did a kolish, therefore the coloration is less affected by the glass. Yadiya beitvei. Hamapel at chatichaim yeshim adam tmeya avim lav torah Rabbi Yehuda imer ben kach uben kach tmeya hamapel at kemin klipa kemin sara kemin afar kemin yafushin, all of the above being adumim. Well, take a look and see if it melts. Tatilamai im nimuchot tmeya v'im lav torah hamapel at kemin dagim chagavim shikatzim remasim im yesh imahem dam tmeya v'im lav torah. Hamapelet min beimar chayav of bent me im bent torim im zachar teshev la zachar v'im nekeva teshev la nekeva v'im eni yadua teshev la zachar v'la nekeva divrei Rabbi Meir v'chachomim omrim kol she'in bo mitzurat adam in ovlad. On Rabbi Ramashmo, look at the machloket over here where Rabbi Yehuda's betame is only bechaticha shel arbat min edamim, because he holds the chaticha is dam. Avos shal min edamim Torah, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Omer shel arbaat min edamim divrei hakol tmeah shel shal min edamim divrei hakol Torah. The only question over here is lo nechkol shipila v'ni odad ma ipila. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, go bas rov chatichot. Rov chatichot are arbat min edamim avin. Rabban and Savre know lo min rov chatichot shel arba min edamim. Oops, all four, two of which are colorations of Dam, two of which are not. This is a problem to everybody. Look, didn't Shmuel say lo tim Rabbi Yehuda v'chaticha shel arba min edamim? And over here it's including Yarok and Lavan. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. Now, v'chite mekipolig Rabbi Yehuda is only on two out of the four, namely Aduma and Shkora, but he would certainly agree to the Yarok and Lavan lo. So why do you think it's even mentioned? So you wrote Kalavana Laman Katanila. What? To tell me a Kiddush in the Rabbanan? If the Rabbanan are already ready to be Matayra Aduma Veshachora Matayra Rabbanan, so obviously you wrote Kalavana, which is not even the color of Dami, boy. Elalav, the only point of mentioning those colors is to tell me there's a Kiddush Rabbi Yehuda, because he's going to argue on all four. Now, that's according to Shmuel. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's even worse, because not only does he have that problem, but he said everybody would agree that the Adom and Shachor was stomach. And over here it says Beferish is not like that. He said Divrei HaKol Tumea and HaKatani Aduma Shchora and the Rabbanon of Chelek. Now, you certainly can't say that Kipliya Rabbanon only on Yerokav Levana, but on the Aduma and the Shchora Lo, because then why even mention it? Aduma Shchora Laman Katani La. Ilay Merebi Yudah Ashti Yerokav Levana Tumea Aduma Shchora Miboy Ela Lav Rabbanon of Pligat. Elom Rav Nachman, forget this approach. It cannot be a question of whether the chaticha is done. The issue over here is something totally different. If shelepichata kever blo dam kam bifuge, but plukta danita noita tanya. Kishta shnayim lo shilishi pila. Veina yodat mai pila. I raise a suffix later, suffix ziva. Mevi a korban. Veino nechal. Rav Yeshua Omer. Mevi a korban. And it is nechal, because what's the suffix? Either that third day was a leda, or it was bleeding, because he actually p'tichat the kever below down. So she's vadai either a zava or a ledet. Therefore, the carbon is not in avela because of its malika. Lishnach rin amrila, in where Rabbi Yochanan does not appear as first taking the side of the colorations, where Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shmuel lotim Rabbi Yochanan bechatika shel arba mine damim avashol shar mine damim Torah, and we go straight to Rav Hoshaya's brayta. Eni vakiyata Rav Hoshaya min ardat avayte vadite biyadam bepelo chatika duba shchora yerokal vada im yesh im adam tmeyavim lav Torah. Rabbi Yochanan benkach tmeyah, and over here it says adomar shchora yerokal vada pligid Rabbi Yochanan vachite megipalig Rabbi Yochanan adomar veshchora, but not on yerokal vada. No, so then leman katani lav. For heaven's sakes, Ilay Melo Rabbanan. If even Aduma Veshchora Kametayra Rabbanan, obviously Yerokav Levanami Boy, Elalav Rabbi Yehuda Poli. And in this version, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, Elam Rabbi Yochanan Bevshel Ptikata Kever Blodam Kamitzugay Uveplukta Dani Tanoi Detanya Kishta Shleim Shlishi Pila Eni Yodat Bei Pilrit Tzavik Leit Tzavik Ziva Mevi Akarban Eno Nechal Rabbi Sharma Mevi Akarban, and it is the Nechal of Shev Shel Ptikata Kever Blodam. Fine. Turn Rabban. Hamapelat Chaticha. Some concern of Mishmar Rebbe Beivchan Rebbe Shemim Menasir Mekidvarav. Korah. Im Yesh Dam Betochat Beyayim Lav Torah. Now this is basically like a Rabbanan, but it's a little bit more machmer. Adif from the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan down Rav Shem Tzachat Hakever below Dam. But he's got more complexity over it than the Rabbanan have, because Inu Savre, the only way it would ever be Tommy is if the Dam is Imah. But if dam is betocha, it's not going to be metame. If it's simkasava, afilu betocha, it would be metame. Now, we go weiter with yet another bride, Tanita. Hamapel chaticha revacha omer korah im tocha ma'adim t'me'avim lav Torah. Now, this is chomer like sumchus, but it's even a little bit more chomer than sumchus, because it's adifa mi sumchus, because it includes coloration as opposed to actual blood. Now there's yet another sheet of Tanya, Koran Yishba Etzem. Then we get not to the tomb of Leda, of Nida, we get to the tomb of Leda. Omer of Chis, of course, is referring to where it looks like flesh. It has to be chaticha levana. V'chein kiata azuza de ben chadaya be'azuga de v'talminim de ben chadaya at v'ayte v'atit v'yadeh ha-mapelet chaticha levana Koran yesh b'etzim b'yima t'beya leida. Omer of Yochan and Mishum Rebishum Bar Yochai ha-mapelet chaticha Koran yesh b'adam agur ben it's t'meya v'im lav Torah. Now this is Kisumchus, but it's more Calvin Sumchus, because he holds it's only going to be tummy if it's actual pooled blood, not if it bleeds. And what about somebody who's raw dam b'shvofer? What would be the din? Do we say b'visaram rachmona v'lo b'shvofer? Oh, Dilma, hi b'visaram mi'bay le'shevetam and mi'bifim kebachutz. Oh, Malay, b'visaram rachmona v'lo b'shvofer, because if it only meant then the Torah could have written Bivasar. What does it say? Bivsara. Shema mina tarte. Von Rabbi Yochanan b'shum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Amapelot chaticha korah. Im yesh b'adam agurt b'yam lav Torah. So how do you explain that? Come on. What's the comparison? Achi ashka. Atam, it's clearly natural to be roi adam b'chaticha. The point of Bivsara is that it's completely unnatural to be roi adam b'shvoferet. Is it possible that you refer to itself as Vachlokatanaim? Tatanaim, Apelatkatikafa Bishablay Adam, Im Yeshim Adam Tame Avim, Lav Torah, we don't care what's inside of it. Rabbi Eliezer says, how can you say that? We don't care what's inside of it. I just said that. Bitsarabala Bishvevala Bakatika. Isn't Rabbi Eliezer what the Tanakhama said? Yeah, sorry. It's Shah Rabbi Eliezer, Umber Bitsarabala Bishvevala Bakatika. Wasn't arguing, explaining the basis of it. The Chachonim now say something new. Ein zedam, nida el adam chaticha. And so what are they saying? Tanakhama also agreed to that. El adapali pliye green hayu. The Tanakhama holds b'tzorah v'lo b'shvir v'lo b'chaticha v'u adin l'shvoferet. But if it's pali pliye and it's not shia, hanim elecha de shia, if it's pali pliye, then it touches the basar. So then it's tamei'a, my time of b'tzorah karin abeh. Come along, Rav, I wanted to say, look, I don't give a hand. Given it's Bali Pluye, this isn't the Dam of the Nidas. This is clearly the Dam of the Chaticha itself. Okay, so what is this Chachomim saying? That if it were Dam Nida, it would have been Tamea, even though it was in a Shvoferet. Rabbi, you're misreading the whole thing. It could very well be the Shvoferet, calling Amal Pluye to Torah. The question over here is, what is the level of the natural that Bivsara is defining? So keep looking b'chaticha, ma'at savar, darka shel isha lirot dam b'chaticha, umar savar, in darka shel isha lirot dam b'chaticha.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Shavua Tov, Rabotai. Today's daf is daf Chof Aleph, Nida, Dovshin Samachay, but we didn't complete Chof Amud Beis. And actually, we were right up to the sugya of Rebbe Ra'a Dam Balayla V'Timei. Everybody got it? Okay. Rebbe Ra'a Dam Balayla V'Timei. Ra'a Bayom V'Tiher. Himtin Sha'achat Chazar V'Timei. So the Gemara at this point believes that Rebbe was dissatisfied with the level of his observance of the Dam at night, since it was dark. And he decided, look, it looks bad now. So he's Batami Misafik. He then sees the Dam in the day, and he realizes it's okay. And after an hour, Himtin Sha'achat, and then he thought it over. This is the way we understand it at this point. Not that he saw anything new. And he said, you know what? Chazar v'time. Probably Tame. Then he said, oi, li shema ta'iti, oi, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have been matami it afterwards. It certainly does not seem very committed to his point of view here. Says, so we need shema ta'iti. Vadaita, definitely, what an error this is. You can't see something and then say, maybe I shouldn't, maybe it actually was better than I thought. The time lo yomar chacham, ilu haya lach, haya vadaita me. Elo amar, inlo ledayan, ela mashe navroot. Since over a year when Rebbe saw it, in the daytime, he saw that it was Tohar. So that's good. What is he worried about now when he was Chozav Atimei? Apparently he's having second thoughts. Well, you know, you never know. Maybe I did see it okay at night after all. I mean, look, can I really trust what I see now? But the klal is that you're never supposed to make that kind of cheshbon. What if I had seen it under other circumstances and then it would have been more damp and maybe it would have looked on me? And so you look according to what it is now. According to what it is now, it's fine. Then that's fine. Why did he now have to have second thoughts and say, maybe I actually should have been metame? So he was clearly wrong in the last second thoughts. He says, come on, no. You misunderstand the case. The case is that originally, when he saw the dam, he was metameit. Not that he thought maybe it's tame. He relied on his re'iyah balayla. So meikar achaske betame. Kivan dechazor letzafra deishtani. When he saw in the morning that the dam had gotten lighter, he said, oh, apparently I didn't see it clearly at night. And then, vaday tohorhu, it's balayla dolo yitzchazi shapir. Then it's not that he second-guessed himself. He then looked again just to make sure. So he saw it the third time. The third time he realized it was a lot lighter than it had been the second time. So in other words, it wasn't a function of the light. It was a function of the changing composition as it became dehydrated. So then he said, oh, wait a second over here. Apparently my original ri'ya was correct because of the fact that I saw it, but it was clearly tummy at that time. It is now it's now apparently in a process of getting lighter and lighter. That's no reason for me to doubt my original ri'ya of alayla. And so Mamela, he ended up being chozer mimatami. Now, Rebbe actually was semech on Bedika La'or Haner. Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi was semech on a Bedika, even though the day was overcast. You couldn't see in the sun. And not only that, Beni Amudi, it was also indoors, between the Amudim, where it was nice and dark in the building, he still felt there was sufficient light. Revami Bar Shmuel, the Kulan in Botkinotan Ela Ben Chamalatzel. Now, obviously, these Amoroyim, I mean, the Achronim point out that certainly they wouldn't have just been Chelek and the Tanoim on their own. This is now Psak, Alokalamaisa, where we no longer have the type of Bekiyut. And therefore, they said, look, you know, today, you should only be Bodek in the daylight, in the penumbra. Now, it's not directly under the sun, not completely in the Tzel, but right at the meeting place. No. What you do is you go into the sunlight and you use your hand to create tzel, the tzel yado. And that is the penumbra that we're looking at here. And actually, I mean, halacha it's brought that this was only true at a time when they were actually being mavdil in these very subtle distinctions of red. I mean, we don't have that kind of subtle distinctions. And so for us, it's okay to use again the way they used poor light when they were big bakim, to make the unsubtle distinctions that we make between green and yellow, white and brown and red, that we can use also light that isn't so perfect.
Is this sunlight in Babel or is this sunlight in Israel?
That doesn't matter.
Which light's different?
Mazuk shnei halakim. Okay, then the Mishnah spoke about two parts, water to one part wine. Tana hasharonin nidon ke karmeli. Actually, probably the correct use of the other one. It's probably the other one because the given is the sharoni in the Mishnah. And what we're trying to say is the karmeli is nidon like the sharoni. Rashi's other use is kisharonin nidon ha karmeli, not hasharonin nidon ke karmeli, which is the other kind. Because actually, the given one in the Mishnah is Sharon, so it's saying the Karmeli wine, if it's chai and not mazug, so that it's not 2-1, but it's straight wine, then you can use wine from the Karmel, even though it's not as red as wine from the Sharon, because wine from the Sharon diluted 2-1 is equivalent to, you know, wine from the Karmel. Chadash velo yashan, we're talking about where that wine is fresh, it's straight out of the vat, not wine that has gone through an aging process which changes its color. Omri Yitzubar Ovedi, by the way, the Rambam learns that that's going back even on the Sharoni. Even though the Pashas and Sugyas were talking about the Karmeli here, but he says that's true of all of the wines. Omri Yitzubar Ovedi, Mivichulon, En Botkino Tonela, Bekos Tveria Pashut. Again, the pashas over here, it's a reference to the wines. You're checking the wine, what type of glass do you check it in? The Rambam learns this is a reference to the chulan, all of the above bedikot, that are dealing with things that are mixtures of some kind. You're talking about dio, you're talking about the adama, you know, the bedikot beta kerem, you're talking about the yayin. They all have to be checked in glass of a particular thickness, and that is the Kos Tveria Pashut. And why is that? My time, Om Rabbaya, Shokol Olam Kulo Machzik Lug Osim Oto Mimana. Normally, a cup that contains one lug, which is about the size of those big French cups, half-liter cups, you know, the only ones that are worth drinking beer in. So those are made out of a mana worth of glass. So you got about 400 grams of glass, 350 grams of glass to a 500 gram container of water. And if you would have Shnei Lugin, you double that. You would make it Matayim, because their glass is not good. They need to have thick glass. Coast very pashut afilu machzik Shnei Lugin. They can use one mana, and therefore they have a much thinner, finer glass. It's easier to get a look at the substance through it. I did a kolish, because it's thin glass, you'll be able to recognize the red coloration more easily. The Rambam here learns that the size of the cup is also important, as we have in wine cups. In other words, the relationship of the opening of the glass, the area of the glass, and the amount of light that shines through the glass is all taken into consideration. It's not just a function of the thinness of the glass. They sort of ignore Ida de Kol Shadiyah Beit Tvei as being the only reason, but Ida de Kol Shadiyah Beit Tvei also in the course of Shnei Mona. Hagra Aloch Kol Hayad
Lein Nether Functon de Heilige Perik
Hamaper Les Chaticha. The president should sit right here. So that way he'll be more sensitive to coming late. He has to sit up front. So we start now a new parak, and that has to do, until now we were talking about marot of dam itself. Now we're going to be discussing the question of how one would be roya dam, or whether we could have a re'iya of dam that is solid. We already mentioned this briefly earlier. And we're going to talk now, we're opening up with the question of miscarriages. And over here, a woman aborts a piece, which doesn't seem to be anything that would be part of the fetus. It's just a piece of basar. Now, it might be coagulated dam. And the Tanakhama says, in yesh ima dam tmiya v'im la Torah. The thing itself is not matami. Question is there any blood associated with it? If there is, fine, take a look. It's like any time else. If not, the chaticha itself will not be matami. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Benkach Ubenkach Tmeya, it's always going to be matami. You remember earlier we had the machlokas about whether this is only ba'arba minei damim. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda's pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see actually now that there's many elements that need to be taken into consideration. Let's actually mention some of them up front, so we shouldn't just rely on what it is we learned. Richie, we're talking about a case that we mentioned briefly before, where a woman aborts a piece. So what are some of the issues we need to consider? First of all, is the piece coagulated blood? Secondly, is it a piece perhaps of a fetus, which would mean that maybe she would be tamei later? Thirdly, is there blood that was taken together with this piece? Fourthly, Then the other question would be whether the piece itself maybe contains blood. In other words, even if it isn't blood, how about if it contains blood within it? How about another question? If there's blood that actually is surrounded by this piece as a membrane, would a membranous re'ia be considered to be a re'ia of nidais? A fifth consideration.
Encased.
Is a cyst of blood, is that considered to be dam nidais, or is the fact that it's seen through a cyst not considered to be dominatus? The sixth issue that we need to consider is, even if none of the above is true, the fact is that this was aborted, which means that there needed to have been an opening of the cervix, and there may be, and there is a shita, and we even paskin like this, although the Rambam doesn't, that is, ein p'tichat hakever below dam. You'll never have a cervix opening without some blood associated with it. Therefore, if you can't find that dam, then the assumption is that it's dam tameh anyway. And therefore, we really have six completely different issues that we're going to have to work out and leave to review. That some of the things we spoke about before, about what color the chaticha itself is, may have been just the tip of an iceberg. So now let's continue with the Mishnah, and then when we get to the Gemara, we'll see the various considerations. Hamapelet kemin klipa, kemin sa'ara, kemin afar. Now, if the discharge was just a thin membrane, or like a hair-like blood color, or maybe something that looked like a little bit of dirt that would crumble, or kemin yavchushim adumim, or like little tiny larvae of mosquitoes. Now, here the question is, and this is important, by the way, because it's from these cases that we derive that the klal of ein p'tichat hakever below dam is not just any p'ticha, because these things do not register on the scale of p'tichat hakever. And that this is where we derive it from. There's anything that's the size, that's tiny sizes like this, are not considered to be p'tichat hakever. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't take it into consideration. The only thing they're worried about over here is perhaps these things are actually just blood, coagulated blood. They look like these various, creatures or hairs and so on, and maybe they actually are blood. So what you do is tatil lamayim. They should be put into water to see if they melt in the water, essentially. If they go into solution, then the assumption is that they're dam. So im nimochu tmeya v'im la tzora. But as what they are, there would be no tumah associated with it. Hamapelet kemin dagim, chagavim, shkatzim, v'rimashim. If now there was a delivery of something that's clearly a complete mutation, has no relationship to human form at all, so im yeshi mahem dam tmeah, v'im lav Torah, the only issue over here is there dam? Aleda, it's not. Is there blood? Is there no blood? If there's blood, fine. Then you look at the blood, it's tameh. Hamapelet min beimar chayav ha'ov. However, if you have now a miscarriage in which the mutation wasn't so total, but rather the fetus has the appearance of a mammal of some kind, or even of a bird, then im zachar teshev zachar, im nekeva teshev nekeva, then it's according, remember we'll see in a moment this Rebbe Meir Shita, that wherever it says yitzira, it has its reference to the same idea as the Yetzirat Adam, and therefore such a mutation is still considered within the overall potentialities of Yetzirat Adam, and it's considered to be human. So there we check its sex. If it's a Zachar, 7 days of Tuma, and that's followed by 33 days of Tahara. If it's an Akeva, 14 days of Tuma later, followed by 66 days of Yemei Tohar, total of 80 days. How about im eina yadua? If you don't know whether it's male or female, teishev la zachar v'la nekeva, take the worst of both worlds, 2 weeks of tuma, and only to the total of 40 days of tahira, not to the total of 80 days of tahira, because maybe it's a male. So you're machmir on both sides. Give it the Yemei tuma. Wait, no, both sides. Give it the Yemei Tuma of a Nekeva, which is 2 weeks, and give it the Yemei Tohar of a male, which is only up to 40 days. So over here, she gets the worst of both worlds. So says Rabbi Meir. Look, if it doesn't have a human shape, it's not considered to be a Vlad at all. Therefore, there's no Tumat Leida. You're back to the question of, is there Dam or no Dam? But Tumat Leida, there isn't.
But none of these guys seem to have a...
Who's talking about Shkatzim? We're talking about Behemah Chayavot. That's what happens, you see? That's what happens. You take the Ritchie path and you suffer. Always assuming that Daf Yomi starts 15 minutes after it's gone. Right, we're on the second part now. We're talking about Behemah Chayavot. The first part, in Achinami, everybody agrees, is certainly not human. Even Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now we have the simplest explanation, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which is what we talked about in the previous parak. Om Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Lo Timei Rabbi Yehuda La Bechaticha She'arba'at Minei Damim. Actually, the only reason that Rabbi Yehuda said over here that the Mapelet Chaticha is Timeiah without any dam, is because it itself is dam. So if it is the correct color of dam nidod, then it's metame. Avo shoshar minei damim. If it's anything but those four colors, of course, including black, it's five colors. Anything else is tar. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, come on, if it was the color of blood, even the chachamim would have agreed that it's tame. shel arbat minei damim divrei akol tmeya. In fact, if it's shar minei damim divrei akol tohora. The only machlokas here between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda was in a case where we simply don't know. Lo nechlu ela shehipila ve'ina yada'at ma'hipila. We don't find the piece that was aborted. We don't know what color it was. There, Rabbi Yehuda Savazil bata rov chatichot. Rov chatichot shel arba'at minei damim havin. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, you follow the rov. And be matami here. The Rabbon and Savil amrin rov chatichot shel arba'at minei damim. Since when are we marking such a rove? I mean, what kind of statistical analysis did we do on that to call that a rove that's reliable to be koveya v'alai tuma on? So some learn that indeed when the Chachomim say that it's tor, it means tor from v'alai tuma, but we still have to be marked really close. It's actually a machlokas rishonim. Now, asks the Gemara, is this true? So far, okay. But the next two, Yirokao Levana. Oh, wait a second over here. He has the machlokas going, even on a chaticha that is green or yellow. Then you're on a pshat in Yorok. According to almost all the pshatim, it means yellow. And white. So those are not colors that would be matame azdan. And here, he says, that's the machlokas of Shudat Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Im yeshim adam tmeya, vim lav tohora. And Rabbi Yehuda says, ben kaku ben kak tmeya. Now, this doesn't make sense according to anybody. It doesn't make sense according to Shmuel, and it doesn't make sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, according to Shmuel, it doesn't make sense for one reason. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't make sense for two reasons. Kashel or Shmuel b'chad, or Rabbi Yochanan b'tan. Shmuel b'chad, Shmuel is one thing that doesn't make sense, because Shmuel said, he said that Rabbi Yehuda was only being betamed because it itself is blood. And therefore, it has to be the color of blood. And here it says, even if it's not the color of blood, and it's white, or it's yellow, it's still going to be betamed. Here it says, katani, yiroka v'levana upolig Rabbi Yehuda. I'd explain that, according to Shmuel. Oh, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, actually, Rabbi Yehuda didn't mean that he was being colored on the whole thing. He was just being kolik on the red and the black. But, I mean, he just didn't bother mentioning it. Oh, yeah? V'chi teme, you're going to try to tell me that ki polig Rabbi Yehuda aduma shchora. He was only arguing on the red and the black. But when it came to the yellow and the white, he wasn't even arguing. So then I ask you, why did we bother mentioning the case of the Yorok and Lavan, please? I mean, who's it a Kiddush according to? Laman Katani, what, to tell me what the Rabbanan hold about it? What, are you an idiot? If Adumash Choramatari, Rabbanan, obviously you're Okal Levana, me boy, what, there's some question? I mean, of course, they're going to be Matire, something that isn't Dom. They're even Matire if it's the color of Dom, because they say, Al-Khatikha is not Dom. So what's the point of mentioning these other colors? The only point of mentioning it is to tell me I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. And don't think like Shmuel says that the only time the Rabbi Yehuda is Matame is when it's the color of Dam, but rather Rabbi Yehuda is Matame anyway. Why, we don't know yet. But Rabbi Yehuda is Matame anyway, even if it's not the color of Dam. So there goes Shmuel's shot. And Rabbi Yehuda, as far as Rabbi Yochanan, is even worse. Rabbi Yochanan, it's worse because Vesul, Rabbi Yochanan, the Omer Shal Arbat, Minei Damim Divrei Akol Tmeya. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan claims that everybody agrees that if it was the color of Adom or Shachor, that even the Rabbanan would be Moda. Now, it's awfully clear over here that that is not the case. It says over here, Aduma Ushchora, and the Rabbanan argue. Oh, and don't try to give me that Ki Polig Rabbanan Ayirokav Levana, that the Rabbanan are only arguing on the green and the white, but they agree to the red and the black. So then why mention the red and the black? Laman Katanio, what, according to Rabbi Yehuda? If Rabbi Yehuda was ready to be Matami Yirokav Levana Tmeya, so is there a question, Adumash Chorami Boy? Obviously it would be Matame that. Therefore, the only one that it bothers mentioning red and black for is to tell me that the Chachomim, even if it's red and black, would not be Matame. So Rabbi Yochanan's wrong on both counts. It is not talking about a case we don't know what the color is. And it is not true that the Tanakama would be Matame if it was red and black. So everything he said was wrong. Therefore, that's not the machlokas. What then is the machlokas? Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying it's tamei, even though it doesn't have a color of blood? Ah, And my chok is his, says Rabbi Akiva Yitzchak, it has got to be be'efshar l'ptichat hakever b'lo dam kamiflagei. They're arguing in the question of whether you can have the opening of the cervix without there being dam associated with it. That's the question. And listen, that is a long-standing machlokas. I mean, I can show you this machlokas in the following brisa. D'tanya. Before we get to this brisa, we just need to review briefly the dinim over here. Remember that the Torah gives us 7 days of tumas nidais for any re'iyah whatsoever. So that's the first time now a woman sees blood in her life. She's tmeah shivas yamim. She now has 11 days after those 7 days. If during those 11 days there's a riyas dam, that is not dam of nidais. That is dam of zivas, by definition. She sees one day, she has to keep one day tahar to make sure that she's not. She's 2 days, keep one day tahar. She's 3 days, she's now a zava gedela, has to keep 7 days tahiris, has to bring a carbon at the end of that time, and so on. Once those 11 days pass, now any riyah, whenever it will be riyas of nidas again. She goes back into her normal cycle. That's the way we paskin. It's not the way the Rambam understands it, but that's the way we paskin. Now,
it's going to be after 18 days. You can have nida after 18 days.
If did you ever try?
No, if it's 7 days, first time she's dam, it's 7 days, tumah. And then we said 11 days, if she sees any dam,
then it's dam
zivas. So after 11 days, if she sees dam on the 12th day, on 19 days, you can have another nida.
Did you ever try? Why not? It's not matsui, but it certainly is possible. Sure, why not? Okay, so now the other issue that we have to discuss is the concept called koshi. If there is a delivery about to take place, and now there are tzirei leida, there's contractions. Those contractions can cause bleeding. The bleeding caused by contractions is not considered to be dam zivais. So as long as the contractions don't stop for a long time, and you can go for 3 full days of bleeding, and it, even though it would be obviously is the norm in a birth, there wouldn't be a problem of zivas, but in the event that there was some bleeding before that it stopped, she became a nida. Now she's in the middle of her yamei zivas. That bleeding is not considered to be dam zivas, and it's part of the leida. And therefore, even though we paskin that a nefel is not going to be gorim koshi, in other words, if you have a miscarriage, the contractions associated with the miscarriage, the Torah was not mitayer that time, but the Tana of this brisa holds that there is koshi in a failing. Koshi means contractions that are tohu, technical term. So we now, the brisa now talks about kishta. So she was having contractions 2 days, and on the third day, ipila. Third day, she has a miscarriage. The inayodat mahipila. She does not know what it is that she miscarried. She doesn't even know if she miscarried something that was considered to be a real miscarriage, or maybe it was just a false pregnancy and so on. She certainly does not know whether there was a re'iyas dam together with what she had aborted. Now, in that case, it's a suffix leida and a suffix ziva. I mean, we don't know whether there was any leida here at all, because she was never able to identify the aborted material. We also don't know whether, in the event that there was no material that had a din of a leida, we don't know whether there was any bleeding. And therefore, we can't be sure whether she's a zava. Because if there was bleeding on the third day, then you've got 3 days of zivas, that makes her zava gedela. But we don't know whether there was any bleeding. So we have two possibilities. And actually, it may have been neither. There may have been no blood, she's not a zava, and there may have been no fetus, so there was no leida.
But she was pregnant, I can see we need her in the middle of pregnancy.
I see you're not a veterinarian. First of all, there are false pregnancy, which is called ruach ipila. There's nothing there. All the symptoms of pregnancy, and there's nothing comes out after the supposed abortion. And then we have, of course, all of our cases of something that isn't roy to be metamelata. She doesn't know whether it was. Maybe it was just it was a chaticha, that's not considered to be a fetus.
Why are we assuming that there's anything there, that anything actually happened?
She felt it.
Why don't we just assume that that was part of her tsirim or something else, and it was just as this false pregnancy, false feeling? Why are we assuming?
Because she's had for the past 4 months a belly that the typical reactions hormonally to pregnancy. We're not going to assume that it's a false labor, but we don't know. Why should we assume? I understand what your question.
I just have.
We should assume that a woman who aborts is having hysterical.
We're saying he feels, but we have nothing there. We have no blood. We have no anything.
We have none. She's not in the area. Why would we have it?
She doesn't. I mean, why doesn't she? I don't understand the section, so that makes, at least we're both not understanding something.
Okay. I'd rather not understand you.
Well, I'm sure you would. It's the more regular, so you're used to it. Why are we assuming that something actually came out?
Well, I don't know. Most pregnancies that I know have something come out of them. I've rarely, except in books, heard about...
I mean, why doesn't she know what came out? Please give us some...
Because she flushed the toilet, as happens very often. Halacha lemaisa. These shilas come up all the time. All the time, literally. Every other week you get a shila like that. So what is so strange to understand? She flushed the toilet. Very simple. She was scared to look and flush the toilet. It's extremely common.
She saw about the first 2 days, but the suffix on the third, or suffix all 3 days?
She saw for 2 days. Okay, we don't. But the third day, we don't know whether it was bleeding. Okay. We don't know what it was that came out. So now she has three sefekas. Maybe she's nothing. Maybe she's a zava gedela. And maybe she is a yoledes. Now what do you do? So she has to bring a karba, just in case. But of course you can't eat the carbon, because how you're going to eat a carbon that may not be chayav. It would be malika sa'of is an avela. There's no way to eat such a chatas. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, may the yakorban v'nechal, not a problem. Because definitely one way or the other. I mean, yakshel p'tichat ha'kever b'lodam. There's no way that she could not have bled. Because the p'ticha, the cervix, itself is considered to be a bleeding. And therefore, we see now that there is such a machlokas tanoim. That's the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Mapelet chaticha, what do I care what was with the chaticha? What do I care what color the chaticha was? It had to come out. It was a chatichat hakever. It's tmeya, nothing to think about. Okay, this was our approach number one. Okay, we're going to go through now a whole Ika D'Amri, which is very similar. The difference between the Ika D'Amri and the first is that in the Ika D'Amri, Rabbi Yochanan never went out on a limb to say that everybody was agreeing about the color of the dam. That never happened, never said that. And it's Rabbi Yochanan, indeed, who was the one who said that the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is in whether Yesh P'tichat HaKever below dam. A complete change from the first version, in which Rabbi Yochanan was focusing on the color of the dam, was claiming that the only machlokas is whether there is such a chazaka that rove chatichot are the four colors of dam. Okay, so a complete reversal. So here in the Ika D'Amri, the second lashon goes as follows: that lishna achrina amrila. Here it's only Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel says lotim Rabbi Yehuda lo chaticha shel arba minei damim. On which we ask directly without mentioning Rabbi Yochanan, what about Rabbi Yochanan's brisa about hamapelet chaticha dumashikora? And he adds yirokava levana, and certainly a yellow or white chaticha is not considered to be one of the minei dami. Nonetheless, it says over here that the Tanakama says, as they do, because they don't hold that a chaticha is coagulated blood. Rabbi Yehuda says, now you can no longer say that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda was saying it's tmeya is a Shmuel claim, because it's coagulated blood, because it says over here, aduma shekora yirokava levana. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda, how is he arguing about dam that isn't the color of dam? And maybe you'll try to tell me the Chitema Kipolid Rabbi Yehuda was only arguing on the red and the black, but he never meant to argue on the yellow and the white. Oh yeah, huh? So then why did he even mention the yellow and the white, huh? Go explain that one. So he wrote Kalavana, Leman Katanima. What, for the Rabbanan? I need to know about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan were willing to say that even if it's the color of blood, it's not blood. So I got to know if it's not the color of blood. That's ridiculous. Elolav the Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, it's good for coming. Tell me the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. Don't think that Shmuel thought the reason Rabbi Yehuda is being metami is because this is coagulated blood, which would mean, of course, it has to be the color of blood. Even if it's white, he was arguing. Why would that be? Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in this version, it's Rabbi Yochanan who indeed argues, but doesn't argue that the question revolves around what the robe color is. Rather, he argues Be'epshalot Tichata Kever Belo Dam Kamiflagei. The whole machlokas over here is in terms of can we or can we not have the opening of a cervix and not have dam associated with it? Uber Pluka Dani Tanoi, Titania Kashta Shnai. Well, the shlishi hipila, the inner yodat mi hipila, areza safek leda safek ziva, mevia korban ve ino nechal, and Rabbi Yeshua says, mevia korban ve nechal, the fish e efshar of tikata kever below dam. So basically, we rapidly reviewed the previous sugya and changed a few simple elements. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says tikata kever is the machlokas, and there never was a machlokas up front with Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan about the mine dami. As to the issue of Eif Shalat Tichat HaKever below Dan, as I mentioned to you earlier briefly, there is a machlokas for Shonim how to paskin. The Rambam paskin is that Eif Shalat Tichat HaKever below Dan. However, the weight of the poskin is that Eif Shalat Tichat HaKever below Dan. Out of that has come a very serious halachic implication, which no one seriously questioned until the Chazon Ish, which is the assumption that if Eif Shalat Tichat HaKever below Dam, if, let's say, you insert a medical instrument past the cervix to examine the womb, since Eif Shalat Tichat HaKever below Dam, you immediately have created a situation of nidus. And that creates all kinds of problems all the time for medical bedikas. The Chazon Ish questions the assumption of why we should say that Eif Shalat Tichat HaKever below Dam is not part of an overall physiological phenomena. It's not magic. Tichat HaKever creates dam. It's that when there is a reason that physiologically the cervix is open, it's always associated with blood. It doesn't mean if artificially you open the cervix that there's going to be bleeding. So he questions the whole hanakha, which everybody's taking for granted that would work in any direction, Tichat HaKever. Of course, he agrees. Look, I mean, since I'm the first one to question it, I'm not going to say we should be mako. But Lamaisa, when it comes to questions that are complex and have many different elements with many different shitas involved, it becomes another element to consider in a complex psak. Anyway, continuing. Turn around, Bona. Amapelet chaticha. Now, we're going to address some of the other questions that we've ignored so far. It depends. You can take a knife, tear open this chaticha. If there's blood in this chaticha, then it would be metameher. Because, it's like the Rabbanan, but it's even more common than Rabbanan. Rabbanan v'adifam Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say that it's Efshalat Tichat HaKever below Dam. Clearly, Sumchus agrees. Because otherwise, what's the point of opening it up? I mean, there was some Dam here elsewhere, right? Okay, so he agrees, like the Rabbanan, that we don't have to assume that there was bleeding. However, Adifam the Rabbanan, he argues on Rabbanan's Machmir, because the Rabbanan say, look, only if there's bleeding with this piece, Imam, yes, then you have a problem, eh? But betochaf is blood inside of this chaticha. That's not considered to be dam nidais in the chaticha itself. Whereas sumcha savar, afilo betocha, even if this itself has in it dam, then it would be matame, basically, as dam nida. Now there's yet another
What would Simchas then hold would be enough to make a threshold to be a Tamei Leda? How much of a part or how much of a...
How did Leda get into this? We're not talking about Leda.
It's the only question of whether it's a package of blood, so to speak, or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, basically. Actually, not even a package. That's later on. It's a further sheet of Rishon Bayakhoi. We'll talk about a package. Over here, it's dam that's part of a growing piece of flesh that was aborted. So that dam, even though it's part of this piece, he doesn't say it has to be enclosed in the piece. Even the piece bleeds, as Basar would normally bleed, it's considered to be dam dita, because it's not a vital piece of material. Basically just seen as a strange concoction of protoplasm and blood. Now, there's another braisa that says, Tanya Ida, Chava Pelet Chaticha, Rebachomer Korah, Im Tocha Ma'adim Tmeya. So you tear it open, forget about whether it bleeds. If it's reddish, then that means that there's blood here. It doesn't have to actually bleed. It means that there's no container, there's no capillaries. But that means that this is a mixture of blood and protoplasm, and the blood is metame. Vimlav Torah, so this is like Sumchas, who holds that something can be a piece of protoplasm, nonetheless has a din of blood, but it's even more common than Sumchas, because Sumchas holds it has to actually bleed. There has to be identifiable blood. He's ready to say, Rabaka, even if it's the color of blood, it's reddish, but there's no liquid, that's also considered to be done. Now, there's a third sheet. Huh? Now, this third brisa is not associated with the sugya that we're talking about. A2? This is not associated with the sugya that we're talking about, but actually introduces a new issue, which doesn't explain. The only reason we inserted here is because it's part of a series of brisas. Then we're going to go back to our sugya with Memrot, Shmaitot. So it seems a little bit out of order and out of place. But there's another issue that we need to be concerned about, and that is the issue of whether this may be a piece of a viable fetus. In which case, it would be tummy because a leda, which we haven't even discussed, we were talking only about a tumor of nidais, so if the Binyamin points out, look, I mean, if we're talking about tearing it open, I mean, if there's any bony structure inside, you got a problem. Because then you have to worry about maybe you had, in fact, a viable fetus. This is all that's left of it. So then Korah and Yeshua etzen imot me'a leida. Now, getting back to our sugya, I skipped that a minute. Forget about what I just said. This is only if it's the coloration of flesh. So then it may be part of the fetus. That famous Chavrusa from Chadayev, when then came, they brought along, actually Tosis Girsa, whenever this comes up, is Zuza mi Chadayev. The name of the individual was Mr. Zuza. And he came from Chadayev, not the famous Chavrusa from Chadayev, who remained nameless. And the brisa that they said was Hamapelet Chaticha Levana Korah Inej Ba'etzem Imot Me'aleda. Now, getting back to our sugya, yeah? Rabbi Yochanan and Mishum Rav Shimon bar Rav Chai, Hamapelet Chaticha Korah Im Yesh Ba Dam Agur Tmeha. If you have blood inside of it, so it was a cyst, and now you have pure blood that was wrapped in a membrane, then it's Tmeha. Im Lav Torah, now this is like Sumchas, the general approach, but it's more kal than all of the above approaches. Because all of the other approaches were willing to accept that the dam of the protoplasm itself is tame. He's saying, no. You need to have pure blood here if it's going to be tame. The only point he's adding is that in a cyst sac, it's still tame. But it's not that if you've got a piece of protoplasm with blood in it, that it's going to become tame. Okay, so this is now a shita similar to Sumchis's. We have to worry about dam in the sac. But it's pure dam, not dam of the sac, but dam nidos enclosed by a membrane.
It's the package.
The package, yeah.
Blood balloon.
Which leads us to another question. And that would be whether, I mean, it immediately raises the question in your mind about whether this is considered to be the normal Ria Nidais. I mean, suppose I would take a tube, insert it into the cervix, and now have all of the dam coming from this woman for the rest of her life through a tube. Would she ever be a Nida? But that's the question that it raises. Because, I mean, if we're talking about, the Torah talks about Dama Zova Bivsara in the parsha of Nidas, not in the parsha of Zivas. Dam Ye Zova Bivsara, flowing along her flesh. Suppose it doesn't flow along her flesh. It's not the state of Nidos, not the state that she happens to be at the time in which normally she would have her menses. That's all fine. There's nothing wrong with menses. There's only a problem with Nida Zov Bivisara. If I substitute now some artificial construction, so then there's not a Nida. So now, if that would be the case, then what about this thing over here, about the wrapped dam? You're telling me, and if I had wrapped dam in a plastic bag, and it would have been expelled, which was tried, you know, with the heroin smugglers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Often results in death, but all right. I mean, it's a lot of money. But in any event, so suppose you would have expelled a plastic bag. So that would have been Nidais? That's dam in a bag. So this is dam. This basically is dam in a bag. It's dam in a membrane.
It's a different case.
We're not talking about chatzitzas. Who says the issue is chatzitzas? What, are you peeking into Rashi? Who says it's chatzitzas? We're talking about the derech of regia. Rashi's the only one who raises that question. Everybody screams at him and gives an explanation for why he says it. It's certainly not the sugya. Anyway, these are the issues that are raised. So now let us see them inside. Suppose all of the dam comes through a tube. What's the halacha? Do we say that when the Torah says zava bivsara, it means bivsara, the lo bishvoferet? It's specifically saying that you need to have a natural situation in order to become a Nida. Or maybe the word bivsara has another meaning, a very clear-cut meaning. Bivsara mi boile shemit tamam mi bifnim ki bachutz. Maybe the point over here is, normally, when you have a passageway, the din is that whatever's going to be matame is only going to be matame once it exits the body. Right? So this is, let's say you have semen. There's not going to be any tumah from a person who did not have an actual piece of semen that had come out of the urethra. It's not going to be matami inside, in which case normally I would have said, dam nidais is not matami inside, it's only matami once it's become evident outside of the body. Comes along bivsara to say, no, once it's left the uterus, it's tami. That's a big chiddush. So in other words, if I do a bedika, an internal bedika, and I find dam, so I know now that I'm a Nida. That would not be true of a male. So that's a chiddush. That would mean bivsara has to be bivsara, but doesn't come to say it has to be normal bivsara. Why would I think it means and not in a tube? So odilma bivsara mi boilish mentami bivnim kebachutz. Omar lei. No. So clearly it means not in a tube. Because if bivsara meant to say only what you thought, I agree that it does mean that. Bisara means betami b'fnim kebachutz. But if that's all that it means, dina sarami boilem shebetami b'fnim kebachutz, im kein neima kro bibasar. What's this bivisara? In other words, there's two issues over here. It's not only that it's within the flesh that it's betami, but that it's within the norms of her flesh, and not in a tube on her flesh that it's betami. So both things are important. We now know both limudim, and of course that immediately brings us back to our case, because it sounds like our case of the chatik, according to Shimon Bar Yochai, is a case of a plastic bag, which is the same as a tube. So then asks the Gemara, I, the Amr of Yochan, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, amatelet chaticha kor'a, im yesh padam agur t'mayadim lav Torah. So how do you say if it's agur? Why is that different than being agur in a plastic bag? Says the Gemara, yes, what kind of comparison is that? You could say that it's part of the norm of expelling blood that it should be an assist. It's certainly not the norm to see dam in a plastic tube. So bivsara may include a cyst, but it certainly would not include Shvoferet.
If it was just said
Dam Zolva Bebasar, so then it means that it has to be, it can be even in Basar, not in the Chutz. Bibsarah means in her normal flesh. It implies something normative. No, it means along her body, flesh of her body.
But if she would wait, the blood would go into the flesh. If they would bring the shofaret, the blood.
But it didn't. They would. Where was there Zavah Bifsara? You are prejudiced. You have decided that Dam Nidus is coming. That's a given. I will not tolerate it. So now, what's the difference? It would have been Tommy. How did the fact that she's a Nida? There's no such thing, the fact that she's a Nida. You're making that assumption. It's not the fact of Nidus that it's Batami. It's the flow of Dam Nidus that's Batami. Either it was such a flow, or there was not such a flow. So your Shvoferet is not such a flow. Shall we say, Leima Shvoferet Hanoi? Titania Mapelet Chatikha, Apa Pishim Leia Dam, Im Yeshim Adam Tmeyav Im Lav Torah. Is perhaps this is a machlokas, because the Tanakhama says that if you have a mapelet chaticha, our case, here it says according to the Tanakhama, even though it's full of blood, only if there's blood with it on the outside is it considered to be tamei, and if not, it's tor. And Rebbe Eliezer seems to just repeat him. He says, yes, bib sara, velo bishvir, velo bechaticha, this is inside of something else. That's not called Bivsara. What? Isn't that the same thing? Rebbe Eliezer, Hainu Tanakama. Yes, it is indeed. Ema, Sher, Rebbe Eliezer, Omer. Rebbe Eliezer is giving the reasoning. It says Bivsara, not in a Shvir, which normally include a Vlad, or inside of a Katicha. Okay, so that's one approach. V'chachamim Omrim, not a Chachamim, this is really weird. Ein zed dam nidal adam Katicha. So what's the difference? So the Tanakhama also saying it's tar, no? The Tanakhama not me too to be tar. They're saying it's, what's the difference? They're saying it's not dam of nidus. What do I care if it's inside of it? So, okay, they're giving another explanation. Is there a significant difference between why, whether this is considered to be the equivalent of inside of a plastic bag or whether it's not considered to be dam nidus at all? They're saying the same thing, aren't they? No. They're not saying the same thing. Because suppose it was polypluye. Suppose what you have over here is a piece of protoplasm that has a, as would normally be the case, it has a lot of, instead of being a smooth, nice, round ball, it has a lot of all kinds of insides and outsides, where you have dam along the surface in these channels and so on. So what you would normally have in a piece of protoplasm that's been expelled, so then it would make big napkamina. Because then the blood is not enclosed completely. Some of it has come into contact with the basar. If you hold according to the Chachamim, they say, well, so what? It's not dam nidus, it's dam of this protoplasm. What's the difference? It happened to come from the makor. It's not a viable fetus, so it's not a leda. It's not dam nidus, it's a dam of a piece of flesh. Why would that be matamin? Mashenkin, if the only problem was the mode of delivery, in other words, it's inside of a plastic bag. If it's polypluia, it's not inside of a plastic bag. So apparently this then would be a machlokas, right? So Tanakhama Sava Bibsara, Velo Bishvir, Velo Bechaticha, same would be true of a Shvoferet. That's like a plastic bag, but of course, that's Hanimi Leheka the Shia. That's if it's a smooth plastic bag. It's completely enclosed. But if it's polypluia, and it exposes blood to the passageway, so that it's Tmeya. My time of Divisara Karina. I mean, that is already touching now the sides of the womb. And if, therefore, it's Gamnida, it comes along up on the table. It's all very nice that it's touching, but it's not Gamnida, it's a Dama Vakaticha. Why would it be Matame? You're talking about how, and I'm talking about what. And those are two different issues. This isn't Dam Nidus.
Why are we assuming that it's not Dam Nidus?
Because it's inside of a piece of flesh.
But is it sealed? I mean, it
doesn't have to be sealed. It's part of where the blood come from.
How can we know that it is all strictly from
okay,
the
that's what he's assuming. That's a good point, but that's what he's assuming. Since we know that the flesh has to have blood in it, why should we assume there's anything else here?
But why should we assume that it's only from there?
Because the woman has a cheskes tayar. Why should we make it to man?
We never make an assumption of something without a basis for. Obviously, holding that F shaliptichas a kever below dam. I see that we have two very antsy people who are trying to make a plane. Only one antsy person.
He's so cool.
He's so cool. It's cool. I gotta tell you, he is cool. So shall we continue tomorrow? I mean, we did. We certainly did our quota here. Very good, then. We don't want to impose upon his coolness.